The Amateur Hour Mock Draft Podcast rolls on. I'm Brian Gibberman here with Sam Vecini from CBSSports.com. We're going to talk about the Magic pick momentarily. But really quick, we had Chris Herring on before we started this and to talk about the Knicks pick. So there was no reason to rehash it. I'm a Knicks fan. I want to draft someone, so I'm just going to make the pick. I've gone back and forth on this. Since I can't trade down, I'm just going to take Ohio State point guard D'Angelo Russell. No really explanation needed for it. We go back and listen to the podcast with Herring if you want to. That's archived over at Hardwood Paraxum, and you can listen to it there. Now we are joined by Eddie Rivera from MagicBasketball.net. Eddie, what's going on? How you doing?
Doing good, guys. How you doing today?
Very well.
It's very early out on the side of the coast, so I'm still trying to figure out my bearings.
But yeah, no worries.
I would say midway through the podcast, we'll be pretty good.
I'm not going to be good for about another 2 hours.
Yeah, it's going to take me until noon to probably wake up fully, so I'm with you guys.
Yeah, but at least it's like 10 o'clock. Come on.
I'm Central Time, actually, so it's still like before 9:30, so relatively early over here in Chicago. That's where I'm based.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
You still have a pretty good excuse, I would say.
All right, well, the Magic are on East Coast time, and that's who we are going to talk about. Now, so, gone for you, we'll just run through it real quick. Okafor, Towns, Hedonia, and Russell are not there. Those are the four people that have been taken to this point. With the position the Magic in, and they have a little bit of a weird roster, do you think that... Do you still think they should go best player available, even if that player isn't the best shooter, or do you think they need to kind of mold the pick to kind of fit in with this roster a little bit to find a certain talent?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think Rob Hennigan's MO at this point has been to pick the best player available. If you look at his previous drafts, Oladipo is pretty much the guy that they wanted, and he was, you know, projected as the number two pick, so they got who they wanted. Last year, it was a bit of a, you know, interesting scenario for the Magic because the expectation at the time was that they would pick Dante Exum, you know, with the number four pick to try to pair him with Oladipo in the backcourt, but the Magic felt that Aaron Gordon was the best guy available, so they took him and then went for point guard later in the draft with Elfrid Payton. So the pattern for Hennigan has been, in my eyes, best player available. But as you said, you know, the roster is a little quirky and weird, and it's getting to the point where the Magic need to start developing an identity of sorts with the roster itself. So, you know, he plays it tight to the vest. You know, Hennigan is very much, you know, he's got his ways of doing things, and no one really knows what he's going to do until after it's done. So to try to ascertain whether or not he's going to go best player available or try to find the right fit for the roster, it remains to be seen. So it's the debate between, you know, what the front office really sees moving forward. Obviously, they still have a head coach they need to hire. So there's a lot of moving parts that are going on right now. So, yeah, I mean, it's a long-winded answer to your question, but, I would suspect that he would start to try to find a guy that can fit with a starting lineup. So, you know, you're looking at a guy maybe like Justice Winslow at small four that could slide in there. I know there's concerns about his height, given that he was listed, I believe, at 6'4 in the combine. Or you could try to find a guy like, you know, Willie Cauley-Stein, who the Magic really could use in the sense that they need a shot blocker. They need a guy that they can really protect the rim because Vucevic can't do that. So it's a combination of things. Do you try to find a guy that's just, you know, the best talent? You know, maybe you do that, but at the same time, the Magic need to start developing identity. So I think, in my opinion, I believe that Hennigan would try to find someone that can fit into the starting lineup or maybe find someone that can pair with Vucevic. So, yeah, it's a tricky question, honestly. I battle between, you know, best player available and fit, but, you know, it's hard to say because, like I said, Hennigan plays it closer to best.
In a perfect world, I mean, Russell would be the guy that would make the most sense if he dropped to you guys at four, right?
Absolutely, yeah. At the five pick, yeah. I mean, there's just no way that's going to happen. So, you know, at this point, I would suspect that the guys that the Magic would be looking at, it would be Winslow, Cully Stein. I know Porzingis has been out there as a name floated around. So we'll see. I mean, it's hard. It's not one of those things where you can really anticipate a front office's moves, you know, one or two steps ahead. It's one of those things where Hennigan is completely plays. He plays everything completely close to the vest in the draft. I mean, personally speaking, I had no expectation last year that the Magic would take Aaron Gordon. That came as a complete shock to almost everybody. Again, the expectation there was that they're going to pick Exum and then hopefully pick another guy down. You know, like I think Stauskas was rumored at one point to be drafted with you know, the second first rounder that the Magic had. So, you know, it'd be one of those things where I could just tell you, oh, I know exactly what the front office is thinking. But again, it's Hennigan, to his credit, he really is a very deliberate person, and to try to anticipate what he's going to do is honestly is an educated guess. So, but yeah, I think the common names that have been thrown around are likely the guys that the Magic will probably look at. But who knows? Maybe Hennigan will throw another curveball. That's been his MO the past couple years.
Yeah, no, that's basically what I think makes this pick so difficult to project. Hennigan is a guy that, as Eddie said, doesn't really, he's not going to give away any information to anyone, basically. So that part of it makes it tricky, but he does have his, it seems like he has his type of guys that he likes. Aaron Gordon, Elfrid Payton, you know, Victor Oladipo, yeah. even Mo Harkless, to an extent, who I believe that he picked. Well, he ended up trading for him.
But
he liked him a lot.
Right.
Those were all very, very good athletes. Questionable jump shots, questionable offensive skill set a lot of the time. And he believes that he can make those athletes basketball players, essentially, it's what it looks like from the outside.
No, for sure. I would agree. And just to jump in really quick, in terms of, you made a fair point about the jump shooting aspect of things. You know, I know for certain that Hennigan looks at guys like Oladipo, guys like Payton, guys like Gordon, that you can't teach their defensive instincts. You just can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're very special defensively. They all have great potential to be elite defenders. And that's something that I know Hennigan understands, that that's not something that you can just teach to a player, but you can teach them to shoot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that's the expectation coming in, is that the Magic can look at these guys and mold them to be offensive players, knowing that they're already advanced for their ages from a defensive standpoint. You know, with Oladipo, I know for a fact he'll continue to improve as a jump shooter because he has that work ethic. You know, he works hard and his form looks good, and it's one of those things where I have a lot of confidence that Oladipo will turn into a pretty good jump shooter, you know, in the next couple of years. Elfrid Payton's a trickier prospect because his jump shot is so broken, but at the same time, you know, Kawhi Leonard's jump shot wasn't that great coming out of college either. So, you know, it's one of those things where, again, there's that expectation that you can teach someone to shoot, but you can't teach someone to defend. I mean, that's just an innate desire. That's just something that, you know, when you watch Payton and Oladipo and Gordon play, you know you can't teach what they have defensively. It's just instincts. They're, as you said, their athleticism. That's something that obviously Hennigan desires a lot. You know, he wants a team very similar to the Thunder defensively, that can fly around, that can make rotations on the fly, that can really impose their will athletically on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, the expectation there is that there'll be an elite defensive team that can hopefully start to organically improve on the offensive side of things over time.
Right, yeah, I think that Eddie just totally nailed a lot of what my thoughts are on where the Magic are probably going to go with this pick anyway. All of what he just said basically lines up to a Justice Winslow pick. Winslow is that kind of guy. He measured at 6'4", 7'5" at the combine. It's whatever. He's like 6'6" in shoes, has a 6'10" wingspan, 6'11" wingspan, somewhere in that range. So he'll be fine to play the wing. He'll be fine to guard both wing positions. But he has those defensive instincts that feels like Rob Hennigan looks for. He has that type of motor, that type of really great personality, type of really great character that Hennigan tends to seem to look for, at least.
No, he favors high character guys. Sorry for interrupting, but yeah, he definitely favors high character guys. I mean, he wants Oladipo is a good, you know, I've interviewed Oladipo a ton of times, and he's just a generally a good person, a high character guy, a guy that you know that has a good head on his shoulders and will. I think that's part of the expectation with improvement too, right? So it's one of those things where if a guy has the desire to be a leader, a desire to do certain things, then there will be that desire to improve as well. So, I totally agree with you.
Yeah, right. That's what makes me think that it's going to be really, really hard for Hennigan to pass on Winslow if he's there. Because Winslow basically fits all of that model to a T. And it makes me think that Willie Cauley-Stein might be less of an interest to him because Cauley-Stein has other interests outside of basketball. He's a guy that'll work hard on his craft. Don't get me wrong. He's not a bad guy. He's not a problem at all by any stretch. He's just more of a guy that's going to, he's going to have other interests outside of basketball. And, that's not a problem, but it wouldn't surprise me if Hennigan shied away from that.
Yeah, I would agree. I mean, it's tough because Cauley-Stein is honestly the guy that the Magic really need from a defensive standpoint. You know, last year their defense was a disaster, and part of that was just because they had no rim protection whatsoever. I mean, Vucevic is big, but he's not an imposing defensive player. And so, you know, it's one of those things where I totally agree with you. I think Winslow is the guy that completely fits Hennigan's profile and likely will be the pick. But again, Hennigan surprises, and you never know what he's going to do on the draft. So, you know, I will be interested to see if they do pick Winslow, how he fits with the roster, because they could certainly slide him in at the three. And the anticipation over time is hopefully that Aaron Gordon will improve and begin to get, you know, because he's, you know, Aaron Gordon's already a pretty big boy to size up to the four spot. And you would think that if that's the expectation internally from the Magic, that, you know, you would expect that the Magic would be praying that every single guy, 1 through 4, could basically mask Vucevic's weaknesses defensively to make that configuration work. Again, the concern is the jump shooting aspect of things. I mean, again, you know, even though Oladipo's gotten better as a jump shooter, that's still a relative weakness for him. Aaron Gordon obviously still working on that. Elfrid Payton's still working on that. So, you know, if a projected starting lineup for the Magic next season, you know, assuming Channing Frye doesn't start again at the four, you know, if you're looking at Payton, Oladipo, Winslow, Gordon, and Vucevic, as enticing and as athletic as that starting five would be, you know, that's still a massive problem on the offensive side of the ball. So, you know, it's tricky. I mean, I do give Hennigan credit in the sense that he pretty much has nailed all of his picks. He knows what he wants. The Magic have an excellent scouting department. Matt Lloyd, Scott Perry, you know, they have fantastic guys that know what they're doing. And, you know, when it comes to drafting, the Magic have almost never missed in the Hennigan era. So you have to believe that they'll do their homework and that they'll understand that the guy that they get will be the right fit for the roster. But from the outside looking in, you know, I know that I can already anticipate a lot of the same questions will be coming up for the Magic in the upcoming season. Can they shoot? Can they score? You know, because those are the same questions that were asked this past season. So I totally agree with you. I think Winslow, again, seems to be the guy. But again, you know, Hennigan does tend to surprise. So, you know, who knows? But to the Cauley-Stein point that I was trying to make real quick, you know, at a certain point, the Magic just need a rim protector. They need a guy. Every single team needs a rim protector to some degree. You know. You look at Mozgov in Cleveland. You look at Bogut in Golden State. You know, Horford in Atlanta. These are all elite defenders that can protect the rim, and the Magic just don't have someone on that roster. You know, Kylo Quinn can do it to some degree, but he's just not athletically enough to be an imposing figure. You know, so I like Kyle. I think he's a really good player and a good role player, but is he a guy that's going to be your main rim protector? I just don't see it. So a lot of questions, to be fair. As you guys hit on all those points, the Magic have a lot of questions, and it's going to be tricky to find out what those answers to those questions are.
How do you think Vucevic would fit at the four offensively and defensively if they decided to go with someone like Willie Cauley-Stein?
I would think it would be a disaster.
Yeah, I don't think he'll play the four defensively,
I think if they would draft the rationale behind the Colley Stein pick would just simply be to have a guy to pair next to Vucevic in spurts, a guy that can at least come in and kind of, because that's what happened with the Magic last season. So there would be times where Kyle Quinn would come in at the four and try to provide that complement to Vucevic from the defensive side to be able to mask his weaknesses. It worked at various times, but again, Kyle Quinn isn't the athletic. He's just not the athletic demon that the Magic, need. So you would hope that Colley Stein could fit that profile, but that's the tricky thing about Vucevic. Who do you pair with him? Because he's such a, for as good and as talented of an offensive player that he is, and he's a tremendous offensive player, he has certain deficiencies on the defensive side of the ball that it's tricky to find the player that can fit that puzzle perfectly. The guy that I would love to see on the roster would be Draymond Green, but that's not going to happen, obviously, because the Golden State Warriors are not going to let him go. But that's the type of player that would need to be paired with Vucevic to make that pairing work. So Colley Stein could pair with Vucevic from a defensive side of things, but there's the offensive side of things that you need to take into account, because Colley Stein, he's a pick and roll player. That's pretty much all he is. So it's a good question. I mean, can you put Vucevic at the four? You could.
You play him there offensively.
Yeah, you could do that offensively, sure. But, you could have Vucevic spaced out. You could have Colley Stein run those pick and rolls. Offensively, it could probably work to a degree. But, and defensively, it could work as well. But it's just tricky because we're in an era now where it's pretty much, four out, one in, five out. It's all this type of spread and pace and space basketball. And that's where that's really where the Magic struggle right now offensively is spacing. Because if one player doesn't make that fit work with Vucevic, then everybody else suffers, because that's what happened. They tried Channing Frye. It worked offensively, but Channing Frye was such a horrendous defensive player that it blew everything up. So it's tricky. To answer your question, it's a tricky fit. Vucevic is a tricky player to try to fit around at the 4-5.
Yeah, the weird thing with Vucevic is that he's actually a really, really good mid-range shooter. He shot 47% on nearly 500 attempts last year from 10 to 23 feet. That's very, very, very good for a guy that's near 7 feet tall. But the problem is you don't want to take him away from the rim all the time because he's such a good offensive rebounder.
And he's a good post player, too. He's gotten dramatically better in the post. And he's a guy that you can toss the ball in there and he can get you a bucket. He's got a great left hand, a great right hand. He can shoot the turnaround jumper. I mean, this past season, Vucevic really blossomed into a true offensive anchor, someone that you could really, run the offense through. So, yeah, you totally hit the nail on the head. He's a great mid-range jump shooter for a guy his size. But at the same time, you don't want to detract him from one of his strengths, which is post play. He's a good low post player, a good high post player. He's got good vision for a center. I know that a lot of fans in Orlando want to see him evolve into a Marc Gasol type of player. I think he's with Gasol's equal offensively, but defensively, Gasol is light years ahead of Vucevic. So, yeah, it's a tricky roster, to say the least.
Yeah, he's just a very tricky player to fit next to, and I wonder if you paired him with a Willie Colley Stein, I feel like what would happen is the other team would kind of let Colley Stein screen.
Oh, they wouldn't guard him.
Yeah, they would just let him screen and roll to the basket, and they wouldn't guard him, and there'd just be another guy in the paint waiting
right.
for Vucevic, which means you'd almost have to have Vucevic further away from the basket than you'd like him at all times. And that doesn't seem super appealing to me.
No, and the Magic spacing is already fragile as it is. If you toss in another player that can't help you offensively, it's just going to create even more problems. That's going to be the task for whoever the Magic hires is their next head coach. I think defensively they'll figure it out because, they got all the guys that they need to really craft at least a top 15 defense, if not higher. With the roster as is, I think they could completely be an average defensive team, if not better. Even with Vucevic's warts and all that stuff taken into account. But really, whoever they hire as an next head coach, they've got to figure out how to make that offense work because it's tricky. And only an elite coach, I think, could figure that out. I know the rumor is Scott Skiles, but that's a different topic altogether.
Do you think Tobias Harris, do you think they're going to match Harris or they're just going to let him walk?
He's a tricky one. Yeah, I think it would depress on the, I think it would depend on the price point. You know, unless the Magic can get him for fair market value, which is kind of tricky to figure out at this point because the cap is ballooning in the next year or two. Unless the Magic can get him at a fair market value, which, you know, again, in normal years, that would probably be around $9-10 million. But obviously with the cap now about to increase exponentially, it's hard to really gauge what is fair market value at this point. But I'm sure there'll be a team out there that throws a lot of money at Harris. And if that happens and the Magic feel compelled that they don't want to match it because of the type of player that Harris is, I could totally see him letting him walk. Because Harris, for as talented of an offensive player he is, I just don't like his game. I think he's too isolation-based. I think he's very much a guy that you need to give him the ball and let him just kind of take the reins of an offense for 5, 7, 10 seconds at a time. And it just, you know, we're in an era, again, as I said earlier, about pace and space and ball movement and just being able to whip the ball around the perimeter. And Harris just is a guy that likes to have the ball on the block and jab step about 1,000 times and shoot a mid-range day and run back on defense and call it a night. You know, that's the type of player that he is, you know. And it's interesting with Harris because he's in the wrong era, quite frankly. If he was a guy that existed in the early 2000s, I could totally see him getting a rich contract. But I think teams are getting smarter now and they're starting to realize that guys like Harris that are very offensive minded and that don't do much for you defensively, just, you know, they're not going to help you win games. So he's going to be an interesting player in the free agency market to see how teams look at him because, you know, for as much as the Magic would like to keep him in the sense that, you know, you obviously don't want to let talent go, it's one of those things, too, where, you know, can he help you win games? And I think he's a player that I don't think he can.
See, with him, it's so hard to judge, too, because he's not even 23 years old yet.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I think it's a, you know, that's a good point. You know, he still has room to improve, and I think it's unfair to just label him as, you know, a guy that isn't going to help you win games. But, again, since he got traded to Orlando, I've gotten to know him as a player. He's a good person off the court, and that's definitely something that I'm sure Hennigan values. But, you know, it's one of those things where when you watch him play, he just doesn't seem to fit what the Magic want to do offensively. You know, it's very visible, you know, because when he's off the court, the ball's flying around, Elfrid Payton and Victor Oladipo are trading pick and rolls. You know, it's a very movement-based offense, even though it's not very good, it's movement-based. But when Harris comes into the game, it's, you know, it just, he becomes that vortex of isolation-based basketball where it's hard for the Magic to really try to, you know, get him to fit into that mold of a guy that can move the ball around. So
it's kind of a balance of it's a timing issue. Like, what he does has value and is needed, but it's doing it when there's 5 to 7 seconds left on the shot clock versus after you work through your offense and it breaks down, and then you go, all right, we weren't able to work for a shot, now we need someone who could take the ball and go get it, versus him taking it with 24 seconds left in the shot clock and not running any offense. So it's, if can he have the mindset of, I'm going to go through this offense, if we can't get a good look working through our option one, option two, option three, all right, we need a guy who could break down a defense by himself and go get a shot and go get it. Is he someone who can have that mindset, or is he someone who's always going to think of, I need to do this right away, right when I get the ball? I think that's a thing that matters when you talk about the context of how
yeah,
that's
the that's a great point. I think that's the question that he needs to figure out for himself, because really, you know, absolutely, if the shot clock's winding down and you need a guy to get you a bucket, Harris can do it, totally, absolutely. But within the context of the offense, I do think that he is a distraction to a degree when you try to, you know, run specific actions offensively and stuff like that. You know, there's times where he kind of just hijacks things and wants to run things by himself. So, you know, it's definitely a timing issue and also a context issue.
See, here's my thing with Harris. I think that if you got the right kind of coach, Like if you could find a way to get like a Tom Thibodeau or something, or like actually Skiles might work here too because Skiles is a pretty solid defensive coach. I think Harris can be a really good defensive player. You know, he's one of those guys that's in the 6'8" range that has a pretty good wingspan. He's very quick. He can switch on to power forwards, can switch on to small forwards. He has that kind of positional versatility that you're looking for. And if you got him with the right coach, I think that that could be very useful to a team. But you're right, offensively, it's just a really awkward fit. I think that him staying with the Magic is going to depend a lot on who their coach ends up being. Like, if they end up hiring a guy like a Tom Thibodeau, I think that Harris fits Thibodeau pretty well. So that's an intriguing one to me. I think the jury's still out as far as whether or not Harris is going to be there.
Yeah, no,
and that makes this a lot more difficult as far as who they're going to pick.
Yeah, there's just a lot of, again, the Magic are in a very precarious position because they don't have a coach, and that really is going to define, you know,
mm-hmm.
potentially who they draft, potentially who they target in free agency, potentially how they treat Harris's free agency. It's just,
yeah.
there's a lot of questions right now that are just going to be unanswered until the Magic
right.
really hire a guy to, you know, mold this roster. So until that happens, and I have no idea when the Magic will make a hire, really everything that we can say at this point is speculative and purely conjecture. So
you'd like to get a coach in there. If I'm running a team, I would like, I don't necessarily need the coach making the pick, but I want him involved in the process.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they need to hire someone soon, before the draft, ideally, so that there's a bit of, as you said, some, a unified opinion on the direction of the roster. Cause you know, again, the top five pick isn't one that you want to screw up. You know, you want there to be, a collective agreement in terms of what they want at that pick and how that person is going to fit on the roster. It's,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I totally agree. I think they need
yeah.
to figure that out soon. The Thibodeau thing is sensitive because the Bulls are obviously doing whatever they can to screw him over. So,
yeah.
You know, and the Magic are kind of sitting there trying to figure out what they want to do. So, yeah, it's going to be an interesting next couple weeks for sure.
Personally, I think I would pay Harris regardless. I would just keep him in the fold. He shot 36% on like near 250 attempts from three. So like he's got that potential to be a pretty solid spacing option for them. Like I said, I think he has potential defensively. And if you can turn him into a 17-point-per-game scorer that's average defensively, who can do some different things versatility-wise, that's a tremendously valuable player. And I can't let that guy walk at 22 years old, 23 years old. You know what I mean?
No, for sure. That's a good point.
So,
everyone's still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. I have to head out.
All right, Eddie, why don't you just make the pick?
I got to go with Winslow.
All right, so we got the Magic with Winslow. Check out Eddie's stuff at magicbasketball.net. He also does some writing for the Cauldron. Thank you very much, Eddie. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. It was a pleasure speaking with you guys. Have a great rest of the day.
All right. Thanks a lot. And that wraps up another edition of the Amateur Hour Podcast Mock Draft.